Okay, let's take our Bibles to the book of Joshua tonight. The book of Joshua. I invite you to turn there with me. And we're going to begin a new series of messages this evening from the book of Joshua. I love the book of Joshua. I'm really excited to preach from the book of Joshua. And the theme of this series is confident living. Confident Christian living. And I'll say a little bit more about that after we read the first scripture passage tonight. We'll look at all of chapter number 1, but we'll begin with just a few verses. Verse number 1, chapter 1 of Joshua. Chapter 1, verse 1. We'll start right at the beginning. Joshua 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying," now this is God speaking to Joshua, so here it comes. God says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee?" Would you read this statement together with me out loud? Ready? "Be strong and of a good courage." Continue. "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." All right, let's pray. Lord, help us, we pray, as we study the Word of God tonight. I ask that you'd help us to make application to our lives. Help us to grow in our faith. Help us to grow in our courage and our desire to follow you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I chose the theme of the study to be confident living because the book of Joshua is for the children of Israel. It's probably one of the most optimistic and one of the most faith-inspiring books in the Old Testament. And that is because in the book of Joshua, the children of Israel go from being wanderers to warriors. In the book of Joshua, the children of Israel go from being complainers to being champions. In the book of Joshua, they go from being a fearful people to a faithful people. Doesn't mean they're perfect, doesn't mean there aren't battles that they're going to have to face, but they experience the faithfully following the Lord, and they experience for the first time in quite a while confident living as they seek to follow the Lord. If you remember, they spent 40 years in captivity, and they spent 40 years in captivity because of one reason. They came out of captivity and spent 40 years wandering, and they spent that time there wandering because they failed to be confident in the promises of God that God had given them. God said, "I've given you this land, I've promised it to you," and the children of Israel didn't have enough faith to claim that promise with confidence. Well, when we come to the book of Joshua, as we see it, we will see the children of Israel faithfully, step by step, follow the Lord and enter into a new experience of confidently following Him. So, I'd like to give you this statement to write down in your introduction, and this is something that we're going to carry with us throughout the series. This will be the theme. It's not printed there, so you're going to have to mark it down if you want to remember it. And that is this: when we follow God's direction, we can be confident of our destination. When we follow God's direction, we can be confident of our destination. Did you catch that? As we live through life, and this is what the children of Israel experience in the book of Joshua, finally now they're ready to follow the commands of God. Finally now they're ready to walk in obedience to God. And Joshua is going to be the one to lead them in that life of faithful obedience. And now they know where they're going. They're no longer wandering through the wilderness. They're no longer pitching their tent here and then pitching their tent there, spending some time over here, spending some time over there. They have a clear destination in mind. They have a clear place that they're going, and that is because they finally have come to the place in their life where they're following the direction of the Lord. Now, for those of us who are New Testament Christians, aren't you glad that God has a clear destination for us? We know where we're going, right? We have, and that is an eternal destination. But along the way, how many of you believe that God has some places he'd like to bring us in our Christian walk? He has some destinations he'd like us to arrive at. But many Christians miss out on experiencing the destinations that God has for them, the places of Christian maturity that God has, because along the way they fail. Not in their works, not in their effort, but it begins simply by failing to have confidence that if I obey God, if I follow God's direction, then I can be confident that he will bring me to the destination that he has for me. And so many Christians that we meet go through life as wanderers, much like the children of Israel who spent 40 years wandering from place to place until they finally, this group finally experienced what God had for them. So what's that key statement? Could you say it with me? Key statement, I had you write it down. We'll see this just about every week, Lord willing. When we follow God's, we can be confident of our destination. So let's begin. First of all, point number one, if you're going to follow along with me tonight and make notes on your handout. But point number one, God has a plan. God has a plan for every new day. He has a plan for every new day. I'd have you notice this here. Times are changing in the land of Israel. The passage begins with this statement, now after the death of Moses. This is a new era. This is a new day. This is a new time in the life of the children of Israel. And this is a new time in the life of Joshua. Joshua was the right-hand man to Moses. Everything that Moses would need done, Joshua was the go-to guy. He was a faithful guy. But Joshua was not the one who was leading. He was the number two. And now God comes to Joshua, and as God comes to Joshua, he says, Moses is dead. This is a new day. Moses had his victories. Moses had his failures. Moses walked with God. At times, Moses did not walk with God. But nonetheless, we're not talking about Moses anymore. We're talking about Joshua. We're not talking about your fathers who wandered in the wilderness. We're talking about the people of God now. We're not talking about yesterday. We're talking about today. I'm very thankful that God has had a plan for every previous generation that walked faithfully to him. I'm very thankful for the destinations that God brought our spiritual fathers and our spiritual forefathers to. But let's never forget that God is not done. God is not finished. And every new day is a new plan that God is revealing to us. Every day God has a new purpose that he's seeking to fulfill and to bring about in our lives. As I think about Moses, you can't help but realize that on the other side of this river, Jordan, is the promised land. And as Moses' name is mentioned, there is a little bit of sadness that comes in. Why is that? You know. Because he wasn't going to get to cross Jordan. He never got to see that promise fulfilled. He never got to experience that in all of its fullness. So I jotted this down. If you're going to mark a few notes down today, as we think about these very first principles for living a confident, faith-filled life, God has a plan for every new day. That means this. That means that past mistakes do not prevent us from following God today. Past mistakes do not prevent us from following God today. How many of you have made some mistakes in the past? How many of you have been a part of some people that perhaps have made some mistakes in the past? Up until this point, Joshua's entire life has been defined by a group of people who are living out the consequences of a big past mistake that had taken place. Joshua himself, he wasn't even the one to make the mistake. When God said, go in and spy out the land, Joshua said, we need to be faithful, we need to follow God. But nonetheless, the people of God, under the leadership of Moses, made a big mistake that kept them out. But Joshua now has gone through that period of time, and now he realizes that past mistakes, what happened yesterday, does not prevent me from following God today. And then I love this as well, and this is even more important than that, because with that, the focus is on us. But think about this, and if God has a plan for every new day, that means that past mistakes do not prevent us from following God today, but it also means this, our mistakes do not prevent God from accomplishing His plan. Our mistakes do not prevent God from accomplishing His plan. The plan of God was to get the people of God into the promised land. His plan was to get them there. But along the way, God's people messed up. Along the way, God's people failed in their faith. Some of them wouldn't even see it. But nonetheless, God still had a plan. He was still going to accomplish His plan. This, by the way, folks, is where we see a balance of the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. Sovereignty of God and the will that God that He has given us. What do I mean by that? I mean this. God's getting His people to the promised land. He would have loved to use Moses to get His people into the promised land, but Moses wasn't willing to follow in complete enough obedience. Didn't change the plan of God. Whether Moses was on board with the plan, whether the previous generation was on board with the plan, they could sit that one out. And God said, you want to sit that one out? Okay, you can sit it out. But My people are getting to the promised land. The plan of God is going to go forward. Whether you and I want to be a part of it is up to us. Whether we want to experience the destination that God has for us, God leaves that decision to us. But He's going to accomplish His plan. And we can be confident of that. Past mistakes don't prevent us from following God today. Don't let whatever you messed up in the past or whatever your family messed up in the past, don't let that determine your willingness to walk with God today. Not only that, but those past mistakes, they sure don't prevent God from accomplishing His plan. Today's a new day, a new opportunity. That's the third note I jotted down under this. Every day is a new opportunity to trust Him. Notice with what he says in verse number 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. It's yours. Before you even step on it, before you even get there, it's yours. You can be confident of that. Every day a new opportunity to trust Him. Now I want you to see this in verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Two things here. One, I already said, every day is a new opportunity to trust Him. Aren't you glad for this? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 says this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new when? Do you know? Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Not only is every day a new opportunity to trust Him, but the last point I'd make under this idea of God having a plan for a new day is this. Every person has a unique opportunity to walk with God and must make that choice. Every person has a unique opportunity to walk with God. Moses wasn't all about, it would be wrong for us to have set this whole thing up about mistakes and failures and all that in the past and to think of Moses only in those terms, because Moses was a mighty man of God. Moses was the man to whom God gave the law. He had seen the back of God as God revealed Himself to him. And the glory of God was revealed to Moses in such a powerful way that for a portion of Moses' life, he had to wear a veil over his face because it was shining from the glory of the presence of God. So Moses was all, there were some past mistakes, but also Moses was a great man of faith who walked with God. Now Joshua may think to himself, boy, those are some pretty big shoes to fill. That's a big responsibility to fulfill, to step into the role of Moses, the man of God. But God says this, this is now a unique opportunity for you to walk with me. The same way I was with Moses. You see, Moses, the power of Moses, the greatness of Moses was not in Moses. It was in the God whom Moses served. And Joshua, God says, Joshua, if you will follow me, if you will be strong and of a good courage, if you will be confident in my promises, then the same way that I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will be your God. That same power that Moses experienced, you can experience. But each of us, we can only go so far on the backs of someone else's faith. Do you know what I mean by that? Somebody else's faith can only carry me so far. I heard one of the pastors that my wife had the opportunity to grow up under, Pastor Lori Morris, and just a wonderful, godly man. And I heard him say something once that was a really, really good, many good nuggets of truth I learned from him. But one of the things he said was that there are times in your life where you need to let someone else lean on your faith. You need to let someone else lean on your faith and get them through and help get them through a period. And I thought that was a wonderful picture and a wonderful truth. However, on the other side of that, if you're the one that from time to time needs to lean on the faith of another, that's great. But that will only carry you so far. Right? You know what I mean? You know what I mean by that? That's only going to get you so far in your Christian life. Especially for children, as our children grow up in the faith, we have to be very conscious of encouraging them to learn to walk with God on their own. It wasn't enough that Joshua was close to Moses. There are many people who have been close to great men and women of faith, but it's not contagious. You don't catch it. It's not enough to be close to a great person of faith. We individually have to be close to God ourselves. And a confident faith begins with that, with each person making a decision to walk with God. Every day, the past mistakes don't define us, but also we have to make a decision to walk with God independently. And when we do that, point number two this evening, when we do that, we can experience His strength and His courage. We can experience His strength and His courage. Some of my favorite verses in all of the Bible are right here. Verse number 6. What's it say? Go ahead. Some of you might be writing down that blank, so I'll give you just a second. I'm going to point out something in verse 6. I'm going to point out something in verse 7. Then I'm going to go down to verse number 9. Then I'm going to go down to verse number 18. So hopefully you're ready now. Look at verse number 6. How does it begin? Ready? Be what? Strong. Let's try that one more time. Be what? Strong. And of a... Verse number 7, only be thou and very courageous. Verse number 9, have not I commanded thee, what? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Now look down at the very last words of the chapter. The very last, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, looks like 8 words. Ready? Only be strong and of a good courage. I've got good news for you. The promise is this: you can experience the strength and courage that God has to offer. It's not a question of, well, I hope I have the strength to get through. I hope I can handle it. I hope I'm going to make it. God wants us with confidence to know you can experience the strength and the courage that He offers. Why? Well, jot this down. Because God's command always comes with God's empowering. God's command always comes with God's empowering. Could I trouble you to say that with me? Ready? God's command always comes with God's empowering. I'll give you scripture for that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes we think, well, God's called me, so I'm going to do it. Yes, that's true. But the real truth is this. God's called me, so he's going to do it. God has called me, he will do it. God never calls us to something that he is not going to give us the strength, the power, and the courage to accomplish by his Spirit. He says to Joshua multiple times here, be strong, be courageous, be of a good courage, don't be afraid. Confident Christian living begins with understanding God has a plan for me. I'm confident of that. But then also saying God has strength and courage that he's going to offer me to face whatever adversity, to face whatever difficulty may lie ahead. Some people view the promised land of the people of God as heaven. And you hear old gospel songs that talk about the promised land being a picture of heaven. That's really not a good picture. The promised land is not a picture of heaven. It's really a picture of victorious Christian living. Why? Because in the promised land, there were going to be some battles to fight. In the promised land, there's going to be a war that had to be fought. There aren't going to be any wars or battles or difficulties to overcome in heaven. Praise the Lord for that. But in our Christian life, it's very much like the Israelite promised land. There's great promises to claim. There's hope. There's great potential for us to experience. But God is going to bring us through some challenges. God is going to bring us through some struggles. And it's going to require some strength. It's going to require some courage. And the good news is, he's going to be the one to give it to us. Now, God's command comes with God's empowering. But notice this also. It's not a let go and let God kind of laissez-faire approach to our Christianity. It's active. So here's another point I'd have you jot down underneath this. So his command comes with his empowering, but faithful obedience requires a dedicated focus. This is the part that we have to play in this. Faithful obedience requires a dedicated focus. Notice verse number 7. Joshua, you need to be strong and very courageous. We know that it's the Lord that's going to give him that strength. But now notice this. That thou mayest what? I'm in the middle of verse number 7. That thou mayest what? Observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand. Don't go to the left. If you want to prosper wherever you go, that's what you're going to do. You're going to focus on obeying the word of God. You're not going to get distracted over here. You're not going to get distracted over there. Laser focus on the goal of pleasing the Lord. Now, he says even more. Look at verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. When? Day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Wonderful verses to memorize. I had the privilege of being, from a child, those verses being taught to me. Just verses that can get you through life and give you a foundation. But he talks about meditating. He talks about observing. You see, we want to experience that strength and courage, but it's going to come through a dedicated focus. Focus on what? Well, this is the last point I have underneath this idea of getting the strength and getting the courage, and that is this. It's the Word of God that is our source of strength. It's the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. I lost my place. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. Old Testament, New Testament, hasn't changed. It's the Word of God that is our sustenance. It's our life. That's why do we gather 3-4 times a week? Not just to sing songs. There's a lot of reasons, but one of them is because we understand how desperately we need the Word of God. We understand that I want to read the Word of God. I want the Word of God taught to me. I want the Word of God preached to me. I want to hear somebody apply it to my life and show me how it affects where I live. the Bible. The psalmist said he esteemed the word of God more of more value than in the scriptures. You find it more valuable than gold and silver. You find it more necessary than food. It's the word of God that is our life. And it is that would be the source of strength. It's the word of God that we lean on in difficulty. It's the word of God that calms our fears in times of trouble. It's the word of God that gives us the faith to be victorious over temptation. I remember when I was a kid, and probably most of you in the room, at least half of you, wouldn't even remember this because you weren't here. But when I was a kid, this platform was a little bit different. The wall came in here, and this all was blocked off. We actually had a baptistry behind here. We removed it because if you step back, you'd fall in the water, basically. That's an exaggeration, but it was really crammed. But in Sunday school, before we would start Sunday school, we'd have an open session together every time. And for a number of years, not the whole time, but probably for 3 or 4 years during that time, there would be, maybe longer, there would be a little puppet show for the kids. Just a little skit at the very beginning of that. And it was there were a couple of guys that would do it from time to time. I think Brother Jim was involved in those once or twice. Were you Mr. Sin? Mr. Sin was Brother Jim. Troubling. My dad played the part of Silly Sally, believe it or not. That would be, maybe someday you can get him to do his Silly Sally voice for you. And another gentleman in our church would do one or two different puppets. But they did a little lesson that would... It was kind of a recurring theme for a while. Silly Sally or one of the other puppets would be getting into trouble. I mean, would start to be tempted to do something. And this little weird pink puppet guy would come out, and that was Mr. Sin. And Mr. Sin would come out, and Mr. Sin would try to entice the other puppet to do evil, to do wrong, maybe to tell a lie or to do something. And Mr. Sin would be in all of his tempting ways that he could do. Well, what we would do with the kids, and I was a kid at the time, but there was one way to get rid of Mr. Sin, for Sally or whoever to have the victory and not fall into it. And the one thing was that we would shouted out to everyone in the audience, "Somebody give me a Bible verse." And we'd have a kid or an adult or a grown up give out a Bible verse. And every time a Bible verse would be quoted, Mr. Sin would act as if he were being mortally wounded. "Oh, no! Make it stop! Make it stop! No, no!" And then somebody would shout another verse. "No, no, no!" And eventually, just like on The Wizard of Oz, the Wicked Witch melting, Mr. Sin would shrivel away and he would disappear as the scripture was quoted. So we don't do Mr. Sin anymore, for good or for bad. He served his time, and we've moved on. Nonetheless, lessons like that make a truthful impression in the hearts and minds of young children. And in similar ways, our Sunday school teachers, our junior church workers, ought to be doing the same thing. And that is instilling in their hearts, and a simple lesson like that should remind us, if it was good enough for Jesus to defeat the devil with the word of God, it's good enough for us. No other way to find victory, to find strength, to find courage. Joshua was going to lead people. He was going to have to go fight battles. He was going to conquer lands. He was going to cross rivers and climb mountains and do all these things. What do these words written down in a book have anything to do with those kinds of things after all? Well, he'd find out very quickly. He'd find out very soon how applicable the words of God were to the difficult situations he's about to face. God's going to do it. God's going to give us the strength. He's going to give us the courage. But it's going to be up to us to be focused, to be obedient, and to be grounded and surrounded by the living word of God that is the source of that strength. Number three. So, God has a plan for every new day. We can experience his strength and courage. Thirdly, faith starts with a first step. Whatever God is calling us to, faith always starts with the first step. Joshua hears the voice of God. Clear. No confusion. No misunderstanding about what God's will was for Joshua's life. Notice what he does. Verse number 9, the Lord finishes speaking to Joshua. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Nothing in between verse 9 and 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. You see, Joshua heard the command of the Lord, and without any delay, the first word I jotted down underneath this first step was the word immediate. Immediate. He didn't wait. He didn't delay. God said, Joshua, I have a plan. Take these people across the river. Soon as Joshua figuratively gets up from his knees done praying, he marches over to his leaders, he marches over to his commanders, and he says, let's get ready to go. God has spoken, we're going to follow. God said, Noah, build an ark. Noah got to work building an ark. God says, Christian, give. And we say, well, let me think about it. God says, Christian, witness. And we say, well, let's wait for the right opportunity. Do you understand what I'm saying? Faith requires, if we're going to experience confident faith, it requires just saying, God, you spoke, time to step. Time to walk. Time to go somewhere. Time to do something about it. Many people say, well, if God would just speak to me, if God would just show me, the problem is this, he has spoken in multiple ways very clearly, but we never take a step. We never move. We never go anywhere. Faith always requires a first step. Joshua was not going to make the mistake. In fact, Moses knew what God said. God said, go into that land. The people said, well, maybe we better send some spies in first. Maybe we better come up with a bit of a plan first. Joshua makes no mistake here. We're going. You get ready. Prepare the victuals. Get everything ready because we're moving in. It's got to be immediate. No deliberation, no consulting. When God speaks, we must obey. And when we obey, when we take the step, we experience him coming in with that strength and that courage that he promised to give us all along. But when we don't, we become, each time we fail to take the step of faith that God's called us to, we become more fearful, more afraid, more timid for the next time. And it's as if God says, go, and we take a step back, and another step back, and another step back. Immediate. But not just, I've got another word under this, not just immediate. But I wrote down, maybe you could think of a better word, but I wrote the word anchored down underneath this. Because look what he says in verse 12. To the Reubenites and the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. Now there's a specific promise here, but the point is this. The point is this, as he begins to lead the people, and as they begin to take the first steps, and as he begins to give the instruction of what they're going to do, he brings their mind back to remember what God has already spoken through his servant. Joshua's confidence in his ability to take that step is anchored in knowing that it's God who spoke to him. It's anchored in knowing that it's God's plan, it's God's will. And I think that's important to Joshua, obviously, but for a couple of reasons. One, he's dealing with a group of people that are historically doubtful and skeptical and rebellious. Isn't he? Now, this is the new generation, so hopefully not, but Joshua's taking a bold step. Moses tried to take a few bold steps sometimes, and the people said, well, why should we listen to you? His own sister, Moses' own sister, gave him a hard time and didn't want to follow. This is not a group of people that are historically known for just falling in line and just saying, oh, God spoke to you? Okay, sign us up. We're coming along. They're not known for that. And so Joshua's going to take a big step here. He's going to go out. He's going to put himself on the line and say, God spoke, and it's time. I'm going to lead. It's time to follow. But he can do it because he's anchored in knowing that it's God who spoke. It's God who revealed the plan. So he could take that step with confidence and with faith. Faith starts with a first step. And what's awesome about this story, and this is why the book of Joshua is so exciting, God's people have changed. It's a new day for sure. The people that Joshua is going to lead, they're not a perfect people, but they are a different people than the people that Moses led. This is a new generation that's ready to follow. And this brings us to my last point tonight, and that is this. Our confident faith encourages others. Our confident faith encourages others. Look what happens. Verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commanded us, we will do. They said, sign me up. There's a volunteer list in the church lobby. I'm going to get my name on it first. How about it, right? We'll leave that one alone. They say, God has spoken. I'm on board. I'm going with you, Joshua. And look what they say. They say, all that thou commandest us, we will do. Whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken to Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Now look how they encourage Joshua. Look what they say to him. This is the children of Israel speaking to Joshua. Only. I'm sorry. I lost my place. Verse 17, we'll back it up. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. And now they back him up. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. They said, that's it. We're not going to make the mistake that our parents made. We're not going there. We're not going to be doubters. We're not going to be skeptics. We're not going to be disobedient. We're not going to be rebellious. You be courageous. You follow the Lord. We're with you. And anybody else who doesn't get on board, well, we'll kill them. This was the time they lived in. This is going to be the law of the land. You get on board or you're getting off board in a real way. These were the people. See, did you realize that I said before that it wasn't, but truth be told, in some ways, a faithful attitude and a faithful spirit can be a bit contagious. It can be something that can rub off on others. It can be something that, but not in a fleshly way, but it should be in a spiritual way. As you are obedient to the Word of God, or as you see somebody around you be obedient to the Word of God, it ought to spur you on. It ought to encourage you to say, you know what? As that person follows the Lord, that encourages me. I'm with them. I'm going to do it. I'm going where God has me to go. But just like faith and a faithful spirit can be contagious, the previous generation experienced the opposite, and that is that a complaining, murmuring spirit can also be contagious. The man of God here says, let's go forward by faith. And they say, yeah, let's go. Somebody turns to his friend, I'm with him. Let's go. Let's follow the Lord. The previous generation, one person says, I don't know. I don't know if we should really listen to him. I don't know if Moses really knows what he's talking. Yeah, I think you're right. Besides, we've been eating this, we eat this lousy food, this bread from heaven. I mean, you know, I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of this, I'm sick of that. I don't like this, I don't like that. You watch how that rubs off on people around you and just spreads like a cancer. We must each remember that if we will walk confidently with God, it will inspire others to do the same. And I love how they finish it. Every other time in the passage, it's God speaking to Joshua, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. But right here, if you never noticed it before, it's the people that echo the word of God to Joshua. And they say, Joshua, you got to do something. If you're going to lead us, we're going to follow you, but we need you to do something. We need you to walk with God, and we need you to be strong, and we need you to be courageous. Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? We each need one another to be strong and to be courageous as we follow the Lord. God has put us in this together, and to each of us to look to the other and say, be strong, be courageous, walk with God. When He speaks, obey, follow Him. Live confidently, live victoriously. And these are the first principles of what it means for a person to say, I'm going to leave doubt beside, I'm going to leave fear behind me, I'm going to leave the past behind me, I'm going to walk confidently with my God. But there's one thing here that we cannot forget, and that's in the conclusion. And that is this, that is that there is indeed, and what this story is really setting us up for, and what you cannot miss from this, is that there is a greater Joshua, and there is a greater promise. This is probably the most important thing. So just, not that anybody is, but don't tune me out for this last part. Because why do we have this? Why are we reading about this? These are wonderful applications for us to live out in our lives. But we realize they would be impossible without the divine powering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about this. As we journey through the book of Joshua together, we see people looking for a leader, following a leader, one who will take them into the promised land. They've wandered in the wilderness. Their parents had been slaves. And now the promised land offers hope, freedom, prosperity, and happiness. After all, it's the land that flows with, you got it. And they're looking for Joshua, the leader. Really, their savior in many ways. His name means the Lord is my salvation. They're looking for Joshua to lead them to this place. And truly, that was God's plan for His people. He wanted them in the land of promise. And many of the blessings that He promised them were material, physical blessings. Follow me, I'll make you a wealthy nation. Follow me, I'll exalt you. You'll have land, you'll have cattle. That's what they're hoping for. That's what they're longing for. That's what the book of Joshua was all about for them. But you understand that as wonderful as that plan is, as great and glorious as that plan was, it was also an incomplete and insufficient plan to truly meet the greatest needs that those people and us today truly have. The people of God would need a greater Joshua, and He would come. But He wasn't Joshua the son of Nun. He was Joshua the son of God. He was Joshua of Nazareth. We know Him by His Greek name, Jesus, Yeshua, the promised one. And just like they needed a greater Joshua, they also, and we also, need a greater promised land. The blessing that Joshua would lead them into was only temporal. Battles would be fought and promises claimed. But the greatest battle would be the battle that needed to be fought against sin and the battle that needed to be fought against death. And the greatest promised land was not the land of Israel, not the land between these rivers, but it was the promised land and the gift of eternal life that would be a promise forever and eternal. And the second Joshua would be the one to fight that battle and claim that promise. But he wouldn't fight it with spears and arrows and swords. He would fight that battle on the hill of Calvary. Instead of leading a mighty army, he would fight that battle all alone. The greater Joshua would walk up the hill of Calvary, would fight the battle, and would at first appear to lose the battle. and the enemies of the promise, the enemies of the hope of God's people would rejoice for the first day, and the second day, and the third day. But come Sunday morning, that second Joshua, the true Joshua, the eternal Joshua, would rise victorious from the grave, and he would defeat the greatest enemy of God's people, the enemy of sin, the enemy of death, and he will be the one to lead us into the true land of promise. He will be the one to lead us into the true place of victory, the eternal place of victory. That's why Jesus would say, you think you know the scriptures? The Old Testament speaks of me. It's pointing to me. Everything we read here in the story points us to the ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ and who he was. And it is the gospel that empowers us to take these principles that we've talked about, to take these principles of following God by faith. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that gives us the power to do that. It's only by faith in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, not faith in ourselves, not faith that we can be great Christian soldiers, we can be great warriors, we can fight a good fight. No, faith that he has fought the fight, he has won the battle, and we put our complete trust, our complete hope in him and in him alone. We do that first by admitting our failures, admitting our sin, admitting our inability to earn our own eternity, to earn our own salvation, and by faith calling on him to be our Savior. In fact, he's referred to as the captain of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope tonight, two things. I hope tonight that this idea of confidence in walking with God, I hope it inspires you to walk closely to God this week and in the days ahead. But more than that, I hope it inspires you to look to Jesus, to look to the author and finisher of our faith. Let him be the one to guide your life. Let him be the one to empower your life. God has a plan for every new day. God is looking to fulfill the plan and his plan and his purpose in our lives. Question is, will we follow? We can only be confident of our destination as we follow his directions. Amen? Amen. Let's finish with a word of prayer tonight. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, we're not going to have an invitation this evening. We'll have a short time of prayer. Well, I'll encourage you to pray on your own. But I want to encourage you, if you're somebody here tonight and you've never placed your trust, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, I want you to know this evening that he loves you, that he died for you, he rose from the dead to do for you what you could never do for yourself. He earned eternal life. He paid the price for your sin. And he offers forgiveness and hope to you. You say, well, what do I have to do to get that eternal life? All you have to do is believe that and accept that. All you have to do is in your heart say, Jesus, I do admit that I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I admit that I'm a sinner. And I believe that you died for me. You rose again for me. I don't trust myself, but today I put all of my trust and all of my faith in you to save me. If you've never done that, tonight can be the night where in your heart you say, Lord, I am a sinner. I believe you died and rose again for me. Please save me. I trust you. Please be my Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can do that right now where you sit. And then the rest of each and every day for us now is a choice to walk in that faith, to follow in that faith. So Christian, I'd ask you as we close in prayer, what do you need to pray about? What is the area of your life that God has called you to follow and you've said, let me think about it? What is the step you need to take? Maybe there's not a step you need to take. Maybe you just need to believe again. Maybe you just need to believe again that God's promised to fulfill his will in your life. And believe again that he hasn't given up on you. Let's all pray together. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. Right now, we just each take a moment and quietly we come before you. Lord, help us to leave tonight confident of your greatness and of your glory and excited about just living another day as your servants, as your people. Give us the joy of the Lord. Help us to walk in the hope of your calling and in your glory and grace. We thank you for your love. Please dismiss us now under your watchful care. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're dismissed.